The Chinese-Japanese spat has economic repercussions.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects the United States. The dispute between China and Japan over the detention of a boat captain is rippling. Even though Japan released the captain Friday, China now demands an apology, and Japan, meanwhile, wants compensation. But behind the tit-for-tat, shipping companies in Asia say China has tightened the flow of goods from its ports to Japan. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
China-based employees of Japanese shipping company Nippon Express noticed something strange a couple of weeks ago. Chinese customs agents suddenly became more interested in the goods the company was shipping to Japan, says spokesman Naoki Sato.
Inspection rate of commercial cargo has risen. It's unusual. If it keeps going on, it will create difficulties for our business.
The Chinese government denies it's slowing down the flow of goods to Japan, but one logistics company we spoke to said customs agents have been inspecting 90% of their shipments to Japan. That's nine times the normal rate. A company spokesman said everything went back to normal this past weekend after Japan released the Chinese boat captain. Nobody seems to be sure if the rare earths trade between the two countries is back to normal, though. China, which produces 97% of the world's supply, had reportedly put a temporary hold on all exports to Japan. That's been bad news for Toyota, Honda, and Nissan, which need rare earth metals to produce hybrid and electric vehicles. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Walmart says it wants to expand into South Africa by offering $4 billion from Massmart. That's a big retail chain there. Unilever today said it's buying the U.S.-based Alberto Culver Company for $3.7 billion, giving Unilever giant shampoo brands VO5 and Tresemme. But in Britain, the news causing the biggest reaction is a possible takeover of United Biscuits. A Chinese company is reportedly going after the beloved food brand, and that's making some people unhappy. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
At $3 billion, it wouldn't be the largest foreign takeover of a British company, but reports that Bright Food of China wants to buy United Biscuits has struck a raw nerve. United makes some of the UK's most popular cookies, like Jaffa Cakes and McVitie's Digestives. There's now talk the UK government might step in and block the takeover. That really would be bizarre, says fund manager Justin Urquhart-Stewart.
It is rather strange that we would finally turn around at the 11th hour and say that we must stop Johnny Foreigner buying our assets, because actually we've been living on not only people buying our assets, we've been buying their assets.
He says the UK happily sold off its car industry to foreigners. Many of its airports, seaports, power and water companies are now foreign-owned too. But the humble cookie seems to be a different matter, a national treasure that must be protected. Urquhart-Stewart says banning the takeover would be bad for business and illogical. United Biscuits is currently owned by private equity firms based abroad. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Some encouraging U.S. data on corporate spending and manufactured goods has world stocks higher at the moment. Here at home Friday, the Dow is up as well, 197 points to close at 10,860. For the week, markets added between 2 and 3%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. By the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. And by Ally Bank, committed to customer service. At allybank.com, visitors can chat online with a customer care associate 24/7.
The newspaper industry's gotten hammered by the internet. The latest survey from the Pew Research Center shows only about a quarter of Americans read a daily newspaper that's actually made of paper. The environmental silver lining, you'd think, is less paper being used, of course. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports from the Sustainability Desk. It's not quite that easy.
I'm here at the LA Times printing press. One-ton rolls of paper are being printed, cut, and folded into tomorrow's dailies. It takes a lot less paper to get the job done than it used to, because subscribers are dropping. And while it might not be good for the printing business, printing fewer papers conserves trees and energy. Don Carley is a researcher with the Institute for Sustainable Communication. He says making all that newsprint is energy intensive, but so is reading online.
There are also comparable, in some cases even greater, environmental impacts, both in terms of energy consumption and other outputs in terms of waste, toxic waste, to the air, to water, to land, from digital media infrastructures.
You have computers, data centers, and server rooms that suck energy. You've also got to mine the minerals to make the devices. And when you toss your old razor, it becomes e-waste, a multi-million ton toxic problem. The trade-off from print to electronic devices isn't a clear win-win. But Rita Skank, with the Institute for Environmental Research and Education, says she thinks reading online is better, to an extent.
Once you read several newspapers, say 10 or 20 newspapers, it becomes, you have as much environmental impact as if you read and you took the whole life cycle of the electronic system.
One reason it's not quite so easy to declare digital media the winner, imagine a global middle class, all with cell phones, computers, and tablets. Skank says it just won't work. That growth will require too many resources.
When we start having the whole world connected electronically, then it's going to be really, really important that we find ways to move those electrons around cheaper for less environmental impact.
Skank thinks that cheaper, better option will have to rely on renewable energy sources like solar. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
And tomorrow, the future of news, how we get it, and what it might mean for the environment. Finally, a commissioner in McIntosh County, Georgia, says something's got to be done about all the stolen street signs. Some people apparently have an affinity for signs that read Boone's Farm, Green Acres, or Mary Jane Lane. The county pays $17,000 a year to replace these repeatedly stolen signs. So Commissioner Mark Douglas says there's a simple solution. Give the names, street names, boring names, like First, Second, or Third. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.